Praise the Lord. A wonderful day, wonderful time, and wonderful blessings and wonderful promises God has given to every one of us. Amen? The promises of God are always true and it never surpasses, never bypasses us, but will always be in our life. Amen? So we believe that God is going to give us blessings. The blessings are for us to receive. And every time there's a blessings, God wants to give us a blessings. But the problem is sometimes something blocks in our blessings. Amen? So we want to really today to understand our nature by itself today. Just excuse me for a moment. I'll put this phone away. By nature, we have sinned. By nature, so many things else. But today, I want to talk about something which is whole world in the world is celebrating today. Do you know what day is today? Do you know what day is today? Remember 50 days after resurrection of Christ Jesus, what was the day? 50 days after resurrection of Jesus Christ, what was the day? It's called Pentecost Sunday. Amen? Because John, at the time you'll find in the book of Acts chapter 1, on the day when Jesus Christ has left the world, he ascended to heaven and he said to the people, wait at this place and you will wait in Jerusalem. As you wait in Jerusalem, you'll find that there will be power that will come. You'll receive anointing. You'll receive power. I'll speak about anointing next time when I come around. And I'll surely speak about anointing. The power that comes around, the fire power of God which comes upon us, that will save, make us change. That will change us a lot. Because Jesus promised about the fire. Promised about the counselor, the comforter. And also he promised about the one who will be with us. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? So today, many people today celebrate about today, Pentecost Sunday. I want to talk about something here in the Pentecost Sunday, what happened. We learn to turn to chapter 1 of Acts, book of Acts. He says, Jesus, in verse 4 onwards, you'll find that Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. He said what? He told them, he assuredly, verse 4, chapter 1, says that he being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit on not many days from now. So Jesus himself talked about, before his ascension, he talked about this. Amen? Let's pray for a while. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray today. Whatever I speak, it shall come from you, it shall be heard from you, and given out to you from you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, every word that I speak will come from you, Lord, Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, I dedicate my mind, my lips, and my tongue, my heart to you. Use it, Lord, for your kingdom's glory. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. As Jesus has now promised, Jesus said, you wait. That was a command that Jesus gave to the people. He says, wait. He didn't say, go now. He didn't say, go. Now you already, I've already now ascended to heaven, the Father, go. He didn't say, now go to different parts of the world, and then you preach the word of God, or you prophesy, you do healing. No, he didn't say that. He said, wait. Wait in Jerusalem until the day the power of the Holy Spirit come. There was some, while waiting, there is something that's happening. When you turn around in the upper room, verse 12 onwards. And 12 onwards. Then they, when Jesus Christ has ascended to heaven, it says, verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where there they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, not the Judas Iscariot, okay? He's called some other name here. You'll find that Judas, the son of James, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with the brothers, with his brothers. Amen. There was a gathering of people at a time, and they did not go back home. They went to one place, to upper room, and they waited, and they started praying in supplication. They said they started praying daily. They started praying, gathering around. They did not see rank. They broke rank at the time. In prayer, number one, you break rank. There's no rank. There's nobody higher than the others. Amen? They broke rank. The mother, it's mentioned that the mother of Jesus Christ, the one who carried him for 9 months, the one Jesus Christ nurtured for a while, that when the father was not around, he was the one who was supplying for the family. He was the head of the family. He was supplying and providing for the family. That is why in Cana, you'll find that when the woman came and she said, son, there is no wine in this wedding today. The wine is finished. And he says, woman, what has it got to do with me? She didn't expect him to do a miracle, because if he is the head of the family, he holds the money back. He will send somebody to go and buy some wine, new wine, and bring back.
Is that right?
That's why the woman did not say, Mary did not tell him and says, now you fill the water. No. He says, do as what he says. Ask him, take money. He'll tell you to go and buy wine. Go and buy wine. But he did otherwise. He did what? He asked him to fill the water into the tub. He did otherwise. Now, coming back again here, Jesus being the head. So now he is now seeing Jesus. Mother himself was there. And the brothers also were there. Right? And they were there because of one reason. They were there because of only one reason. Well, the reason was because to see that God was able to see, that he was able to see that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not as the son of Mary. Hello? Not as the son of Mary. What he has said, the Son of God, will surely come to pass. See, they broke rank. Even the closest family member, that is his mother and his brothers, were together with the apostles. And you will go down and see in chapter 2, you'll find, verse 1 onwards. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of the rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting down. You see, they were sitting down. The first verse said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You see, among the apostles, you know, we have already preached about a different kind of apostles we have in the apostles. Everybody has got his own mind. Everybody has got a different kind of mindset. Peter has got his own mindset. And then you've got James, another mindset. And then you've got John, another mindset. Everybody has got a different mindset. But you see, they all were together with Jesus Christ. And I did preach, you know, Peter is a man probably would never trust another Jew. Especially a tax collector. That's why he always carried a knife with him. Right? When he sleeps, just in case the tax collector get a chance to kill him, no? Right? Who was the tax collector? Matthew. Okay. Matthew was one of the disciples. He never trusted him all the time. So you'll find, you see, everyone has got their own character in their life. And in that, you know, Jesus brought them all together and they stayed together and they lived together. Now, those who are so close to him now, different characters, are coming together and break rank with the mother and the brothers and sisters, and they got together and they started praying. They were in one accord. What does it mean, one accord? What is one accord? One accord. Can anyone tell me? English teachers here. They were in unity together. One accord means one mind, one heart, one goal, one's object. They were all in one accord. They ate what everybody ate. They drank as what there was left there. They shared everything. One accord. They were all together, one accord. Caring for one another. Only praying and supplication. Amen. So they were praying in supplication. Why did this happen? And there was a power of Holy Spirit come down upon them. You'll find there are a lot of things that happened. Even the man who denied Jesus Christ three times, Peter, was sitting there. And we'll find in chapter 1 itself, we'll find Peter stood up. It says, in the days they stood up. There were 120 of them were gathered together. But he stood up among them. He said, there is one person lacking now to make the 12. Judas Iscariot has died. Let's now draw lots and see, as the Lord leads, who will be the one to replace Judas Iscariot. Do you follow? So the man who was all the time, a silly man all the time, we call him a silly man. Sometimes he comes and says silly things. Before Jesus Christ. This man, suddenly, you see, he has changed his heart and his mind. He stands up. God uses him now. Even before the Holy Spirit being poured out, he's used him. Why was he used? Now, I'll speak to you about it later. You'll find in John chapter 21, and you'll find that it's mentioned something about him. And you'll find that Jesus has done something for him. Now, coming back again, in the days of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, and every one of them spoke in different tongues, different languages, and different people spoke in different languages. Everybody who was there, people, you must understand, Jerusalem is a place where people pass by. Galilee was a place where people pass by. And everybody will come during the time of Feast of Pentecost. It's something that everybody wants to come. Every Jew will return home. Amen? During the time. It's one of the feasts that is a must. They must be there. So they will be there during the time. And everybody, as they gathered from different parts of the world, they could hear their own languages. That's what the Word of God says. Amen? Amen? So today, what I'm saying is, unless there is unity, there was something Jesus broke, which today the churches are not having it now. Something Jesus gave to the church, but the church and the people and the family is not having it today now. Amen. Amen.
God has revealed to us, why is there so much of blessings not available to man nowadays? Even as Christians, we sit down. Let's turn to Matthew. Chapter 24, verse 11 and 12. Can somebody read that out loud for me? You can read it in New King James Version. You can read it in NIV Version. You can read it in Old King James Version. Doesn't matter. Whatever version you have there, can you read it out for me? 11 and 12. Chapter 24, verse 11 and 12. Can you just read it out? Especially 12. Amen. Let's stop there. Just stop there. Now, brothers and sisters, Jesus was prophesying in chapter 24 about the last days. He was telling about the last days. In the last days, there will be lawlessness. What is lawlessness? Lawlessness means somebody who does not want to come under a covering. Somebody doesn't want to follow. Somebody doesn't want to be obedient. Is a person who's got no law. Lawlessness. Another word for lawlessness is iniquity. Another word for lawlessness is iniquity. Another word for lawlessness and iniquity is rebellion. Amen. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm getting? Rebellion is the word you originally came from the Bible in Genesis. So rebellion is the one which came also from the heaven. Lawlessness, because they will have their own laws, they will say, I am, I want to be like God. He said, I am, because he told Moses, I am, what's your name? I am. So I also want to be, I am, because I don't want to come under the covering of God. I don't want to come under the covering of the authority that God has placed upon my life. I don't want to come under the covering of my father or my mother. I'm rebellious. Oh, my father says, don't wear this, whatever it is, no? I told my son not to wear something here, piercing and all those things. I said, but you're old-fashioned, la, daddy. You're old-fashioned, pa. No, you don't know. You see, no wonder you're graying. You see, I've got no gray hair. You see, you're old. You're a trend now. You know the trend, papa. You know, my son has got a gift of gap. Not a trend, he will talk like that. You know the trend, You know, trend, you must, when the train is going, you must catch it on it and run on it together with it. Otherwise, you miss the train, la. So now the trend is no more miniskirts. No, now it's different. Now you've got this things all, your pierce here and everything else, and all other things, and tattooing. Because that's a trend. Because not coming under the covering, not coming to the law, not coming under authority of somebody is called rebellion. Amen. So why are we today, in all of us today, if you will find that we have got this rebellions inside of us. It's not only rebellion in the church, not only rebellion in the family, it's also rebellion in the authority in your office, it's also rebellion in the place of marriage, there is also rebellion in the place of wherever God has placed authority upon. I want to take you back to where Genesis was. In the beginning, God said he created everything. The galaxy is his. And he created earth. And he created earth, and he says he came down and just saw there is no nothing, there was no form in it. And God created everything else, and he created man. And he was always saying, I am the creator of everything. Everything was subdued to me. Now I'm creating somebody in my own image. And I'm putting him in the Garden of Eden that they will subdue all the things I've created, but he will be able to connect with me all the time. Do you follow what I'm saying? He will be under my covering. He will be under my authority. He'll submit to my authority. He'll submit to my word. He'll submit to what I say to him. I'll submit to my ways, not his way. He will not say, I am. Do you follow what I'm saying so far? So rebellion, spirit of rebellion, is the one which is until today controlling us now. Till today, many of us, even Christians, are not receiving the blessings because of the rebellious spirit in us that has been put into us. Who introduced rebelliousness? Satan. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 onwards, you'll see that, oh Lucifer, the son of the morning, how much you wanted to deceive. How much you wanted to sit at the throne of God? He said, now I want to sit. Rebellion is one thing which is not right before God. God doesn't like. That is why he was cast out from heaven down on earth. Rebellion spirit in the Garden of Eden was introduced to us by Satan. Number one, it was introduced by Satan. Rebelliousness is one thing that is open. What is sedition? Iniquity also means sedition. What does sedition mean? Rebellion is open. Sedition is somebody who will come around the leader, be nice to the leader, so that he can overthrow the leader. How many of you got like that? Is there anyone in the church? Is there anyone in your house? You see, I want to talk to you about somebody, you know. My daddy, this old man, he doesn't understand, you know. I wanted to put this ear piercing right in front of the thing. My friends have got, he told him, this Dan, because he's a preacher, he's telling that he cannot put this on here, on his lips here. And he said, you know the one, the ears up there, here, eyes here? I want to put the one, my friends all got it. And you see, I'm in the trend. My father is not in the trend because he's old man. This old man is terrible, no? The day he dies, better. I can have freedom. How many of you, how many of us, in our own way, have come against rebellion of our parents? How many of us has come against, in rebellion against the father's authority or the mother's authority? Rebelliousness does not start in a place of politics. It's not in a place of in the office. It's not in a place of authority in the church, but also start from the house. Applicable to everywhere. God in our life places people in our life in authority so that he can speak into our life, so that we can edify it, we can go on, move on with our life. We need guidance. So God puts authority into our lives. So that is why in the beginning people found after the Adam and Eve was chased out of the Garden of Eden, they were now outside the world. Then they were living like other people. The way they lived was wrong. That is why Moses brought the law of the Lord. Amen. So that they will know this is right, this is wrong. Don't do this, this, don't do this. Because he says, you bow down to other gods. No, that's not right. He said, I'm the only God. You cannot bow down to any others. He said, you must honor father and mother. Why did God put that verse inside there and say, honor father and mother? Because there was rebellion within the children against the parents. Right? In the Old Testament, you'll find people were really rebellious. Even now, till today, after Jesus has already done that thing, that whatever he has got to do for us, that he has already done for us, yet there is rebelliousness in us. Why are we living in iniquity? Because of the rebelliousness spirit. The spirit of rebellion. Sedition. Sedition existed many long time ago. Sedition existed in the Old Testament. Everyone who is in the sedition, who comes under sedition, who have got the spirit of sedition, they are called as criminal in the Old Testament. They were, out you go. They were stoned to death. Do you know who's Absalom? How many of you know who's Absalom? I pray against the spirit of Absalom. Absalom is the man who goes around the father David, just hang around him, just be nice to him, and then everybody comes in. Oh, no, if my father cannot solve, I also can solve my problem. Don't see my father, it's okay. David, it's okay, he's very busy. In like a sheep, he comes in wolf's clothing with only one intention, to overthrow him one day. What was the cause of his death? Absalom died. You'll find Solomon too. He killed somebody, his cousin brother. Why? Also, sedition. They were stoned to death in the Old Testament. Sedition is an act of criminal. How many times do we go around and tell, let's talk about his father. Let's talk about his leader in the church. Let's talk about my authority in my office. How much do we gossip about the person? We condemn the person. That's sedition. Rebellion is open. Sedition is very slow and quiet. And is done in secret. So that one day you will achieve what you want. Satan, you'll find in Isaiah chapter 14, you'll find that he also had the same seditious act. rebellious mind. That is what happens in our church, in the organization, in families, so that people, even the old folks, are being thrown out into aged home. My mother was in aged home because I couldn't keep her alone because she's no company. But there are people who can afford it. They can afford, but yet they throw them into the old age home. Why? Because they're rebellious. Rebellious spirit. Don't honor the father and mother. That is a word given by the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother so that your life will be long. You will have a long life. You'll be satisfied with a long life. Brothers and sisters, today, what I'm here doing today is not to condemn any one of us today here. None of us. Some of us do not receive the blessings in our life. Why? Because this rebellious spirit still exists wherever we go. I'm speaking about my family too. There is rebellious spirit. And my son was, I don't understand how this old man every time. Doesn't matter. But he'll come around and little by little he'll understand what I said. He's always, for a while he'll be angry. After that he'll come down. Because the moment you speak to him senses, he'll be able to. People need to know why the authority. Why the authority is given in our life. There's authority in every place in our life. From the time that we are born, there's an authority that's the parents. From the time you go to school, there's an authority that teaches. When you go out to work, there's an authority placed in your working place. When you come to church, there's an authority placed in your life. So some of the authorities, most of the authorities are placed by God, and those who have been placed by God in our life, when we go against it, it's wrong. Why? Remember last time I spoke to you about why Satan is interested in our life. Why is Satan interested in our life? He wants to condemn us. He wants to kill us. He wants to make us sinful. Tell me why. Those of you who heard the message. Why? We were made in God's image. Every time he sees you and I, he says, he represents God and I'm angry with him because I want to overthrow him so that I can be the king. Right? So he gets angry. He wants to place so many difficult things in our life. He places sins before us, temptation before us. He puts everything around us. But I want you to remember this. God also remembers one thing in his life. He'll never forget one thing. That is what? Satan who rebelled against him. Every time that there is rebellion, reminds him of Satan. The only person in the whole entire kingdom of God, in the heavens, one person who came out and stood against God is Lucifer. So remember, he always went against God, rebelled against God. He was seditious. And every time we have that act in our life, that reminds God of Satan's act. He's angry. He doesn't like rebelliousness. He doesn't like sedition. He doesn't like that very much. Because God is good. Everything inside him is good. In the beginning, he created everything good. There's nothing he said that is bad. Did he say, oh, I created man. Oh, I regret making man. He said it later, but not now at the time of him making. He said everything is good. Everything that he created was good. So how can God be a God who is good, create something bad? Cannot. So what was placed inside us? Number one, how did rebellion come into our lives? Because, number one, Satan was the one who introduced it because he was the beginner. Second thing you must understand, what happened at the time? What is rebellion? Rebellion is going against authority. When did it happen? All the time in the time of Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, you'll find chapter 3, in chapter 3 of Genesis, I think it's verse 16 onwards, you'll find that woman said, it's the devil who deceived me. What is deception? Rebellion is going with the grains. You're going clockwise. So what happened at the day? Devil put into us and reverse anti-clockwise on the day. Go against the grains. In our mind. In our mind. It was conceived also by Adam. Adam, another guy, when the woman gave him the fruit, he says, no, she gave me the fruit, so I ate it. He blamed her for it. But he too was turned. So brothers and sisters, the first thing is that Satan introduced it. Second thing, what is introduced into us is by the seed that was planted in us. The seed which was reversed in us. That was reverseness. Just now, I didn't tell what I'm going to preach today. The sister came up and read Psalm 51. So it must be God speaking to you, all of us today, including me. And it says, I was born in iniquity. I was born with sin. Where did the sin come from? From the seed of those Adam and Eve. That is why. First thing, that is why we are rebellious. We are by nature we are rebellious because the seed inside us, by nature. Sometimes we understand, the Old Testament says, no, they were stoned to death. But now, if rebelliousness was inside us all the time, and we are rebelling against God, everything that God made good, and He says, don't, do it other way around. We are rebellious. So now, when did the seed come? By nature, when you say that by nature we are born with sin, right? We are born with sin. Psalm 51 verse 5, it says we are born conceived in sin. And there's also Paul writing in one of his episodes, you'll find, we were in the beginning conceived in iniquity. Conceived in iniquity. It's in NIV version. And it says in King James version, it says, we were therefore birthed in sin. So in the beginning, when we were birthed into the sin, when we were birthed in sin, so every time generation, that's why sometimes when you see a child say, oh, like an angel. Now today, if you find a person today, if you and I have not committed a sin in our life, you've not committed a sin in life, right? And something happens to me tomorrow, I die. What happens? If I've not committed sin, anything in life, I've not received Jesus Christ, I will still go to hell. You know why? By birth, I've already got the rebellious spirit. By birth, the seed, by nature, in my nature, in my action, in my deeds, in the way I talk, the rebellious spirit is already inside me. That is why you'll find, Jesus Christ did something else. You'll find there are two persons I would like to highlight upon. In Matthew chapter 19, you'll find, verse 24, I'm not mistaken, you'll find this man, rich young man who came and he said, Master, teacher, good teacher, he said, good teacher, good rabbi, tell me, what should I do to go to heaven? And Jesus recited the Ten Commandments. And he said, I've done all that. And Jesus said, go and sell your wealth and come and follow me. That's a commandment. Is that a command? There's an authority Jesus is telling. He could not submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Then he went out from there. It says that the word of God says his heart was on his treasure. Yes, what? He did not obey to the authority of the Son of God. He called him teacher. If you're calling him a teacher, that's why you asked him, you are a good teacher. Why do you call me teacher? Except for all good. Because only one who's good, Father in heaven. No one else is good. Jesus asked him, he said, you call me good. Why do you call me good? Because only Father in heaven can be called good. Everybody else is not good. And Jesus replied to him and said, this is what you should do as a man. Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. As a man, this is what you should do. And he says, no, I've done all that. If he would have died that day without receiving Jesus Christ, surely he'll go to hell. I want to take to another person in the New Testament. Acts chapter 10. A man called Cornelius. This Cornelius was a man who was full of good deeds. He's a good man. He's got good deeds. He knows there's a power up there. He's scared of the power. One day the angel of God came to him and spoke to him this and said, Cornelius, Cornelius, your good deeds has come before God as a monument. How many of us can say that word? You know, how many of us, the angels can come and tell us? How many of us, including me? None of us. Your good deeds has become a monument before God. And God says today, go and send for this man, Simon Peter, who's staying in the house of the tanner called Simon in Joppa. Call him here and he will speak to you about what he has to speak. Why has Jesus got to deal with him before he dies? Because he can be good, but he cannot go to heaven. There's a testimony. So you go to YouTube and find. I see a lot of Muslims who even go to Middle East, to Arab, to do their yearly Hajj. They do their Umrah and they do their Hajj. There was this man I like about him, Ali. that God spoke to him. He heard the voice. He was there. He was a drunkard. He was a wife beater. He was really a bad man to the wife. And he was there all the time. And he went away from there to go to Turkey, you know, in the capital of Turkey. I can't remember what's the place. You go back and see it. And this man, he gave a testimony. He says, when I was there going for this, I changed. I stopped drinking. And now, when I was there, God spoke to me. Somebody heard a voice and said to me, Ali, you're mine. Don't do this Hajj. He heard, who are you? Isa al-Masih, Jesus Christ. Second time he heard it. The third time he heard it. And he said, now I've got to go. He told his friends, I've got to go. His life changed after that. God is looking for people. You can have good deeds, but it's God who's looking for your heart. God is looking for our heart. How many of us in church are heartless? How many of us in the house, in the home, are heartless? We see our own brothers and sisters in a family suffering. We don't want to lift our finger. We see our old parents doing some work for us, cooking. We don't even appreciate them. We don't want to lift a finger to help. Brothers and sisters, we are Christians. Believers of Christ have got to come out of this rebellious spirit. The spirit, the source of all this evil is rebellious spirit, and the spirit of sedition. It's because of sedition that people gossip so much. In the church, outside the church, in the office, everywhere. So much so, the only thing they have is to bring that bad person down so that somebody else will take over and they will have a pretty good life. I received a call from China and says, I'm an SOS pastor, can you pray? I've got those 2% causing problem and a new boss. And there's going to be a problem in my work. Why? We cannot submit to the authority. We want somebody who will be nice to us all the time. Sometimes you think that you're good. How many of us think we are good? I don't want to put up my hands. I dare not. Many of us think that we are good in whatever we do. But sometimes arrogance sets inside it. Now, whatever you are good, we don't give glory to God. Arrogance sets inside our heart and our mind. When arrogance sets into our heart and our mind, we do not glorify God. We glorify ourselves, our intelligence, our nature, our heart, the way you are. That is why it's me who brought all this power. It's me. It's me. It's an I and me. Why? That's rebellious spirit. Right? I pray that we will pray in this church again. This movie called Facing the Giants. You've not seen it? Go back and see it. Those couples who are married, I would like you to see the fireproof. I want you to go back and buy it. Doesn't matter, invest. There are about 3 videos. Invest in, take it and see it. It'll be good for every one of us. Every one of us go through this rebellious spirit in our lives. When there's failure, we are rebellious. When you don't get things in your own way, we are rebellious. I told you in my last week's message. I did say when I was young, to get a small bowl of noodles once a month because my father was poor. He can only afford once a month when he gets salary. And on that day, I will make so much a tantrum just to get one bowl of I was looking at myself. If I look back now, how selfish I was when my father's income was so less. I look back now as a matured person, I see how silly I was to impose upon him so that he can give up something to satisfy my needs. How many of us throw tantrums in our lives today? Even today, as rebellion, as a matured person, or even as a Christian. How many of us? Husband and wife, children and parents, in church with authority, in your working place, just because you did not fulfill the target you were told not to do, you were told off. So you're rebellious. How can I be told off? Because I did everything right. But I only missed one part, only one. It's okay, lah. No, he one small silly part, no. Why did he make it so big? How many of you say that? I've heard that many times. Pastor, it's only one silly part. I don't know why that became a big issue. Let's submit. Yes, that's one silly part that we made. And let's correct that one silly part. Let's not look at the goodness that you have, which magnifies you, but look at the silly part, which can actually correct us and bring us humble before God. Amen? So in order for us to come before God, we must understand that God is free. So evil one was, evil was introduced to us by two ways. Number one, that Satan introduced to us, and he was the one introduced us. Secondly, it was now timed into our seat, so that from the time we were anti-clockwise, we were thinking anti-clockwise, always going against the seat. Many times we do that. Many of us have our own mind and our own brains. Sometimes I tell my sons, son, I've lived before you, I was born before you. I've gone through the same problem like yours. If you follow what I say, you will not get into trouble. If you follow your way, you have to go through the trouble that I went through. Then you have to knock your head and say, I should have listened to my dad. I was there like you. I went through the same problem. So only smart people, intelligent people, will follow by the mistakes, will learn from the mistakes of others. But you are doing on your own way, then must be something wrong up here. So he does not say anything after that. He has to listen. Amen. Praise God. Genesis, when he did that thing that which has turned us around, as he has said now in Isaiah, he says, why did we are rebellious? How do we know we are rebellious? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 53, verse 6. Can somebody read? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. We are rebellious. Jesus, what did he say? It is prophecy about Jesus Christ. Can somebody read loud? Verse 6. Or even can read from verse 5. Hello?
But it was wounded for our transgression. It was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned
everyone.
Who
is?
Own way.
Ah.
And the Lord.
Yes, amen. Thank you, sister. Turn to your own way. The word of God says in Isaiah, why is Jesus Christ got to go onto the cross? It's because we have turned into our own way like a lost sheep. We were now lost because we were chased out of Garden of Eden, and we are lost now. We have turned into our own way, because no more can I listen to God. No more will I come under authority of somebody. And no more will I come under the authority of somebody to learn from somebody or be under somebody for a while until I go on mature something else. No, I can't. I must wait. I cannot wait. I cannot sit on chairs because there are so many needles on my chair. I must sit down. I cannot sit down. That is why we are rebellious. We went in our own way. Going in our own way is rebellion against the way. The people of the Old Testament, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible, the Quran says, the people of the way. Whose way? Jesus' way. God's way. It doesn't say any other way. So we went away from the way to other ways. Now I want to say, because some of us must understand the word of God was given to us, and the Spirit of God was given to us, and we must activate the Spirit to understand which way we should go. That is why I said just now that even if God speaks to me, surely I know God will speak to somebody else too. If God gives me a prophecy, surely God will give a prophecy to somebody else somewhere in the world. Surely. And God gave me a heart recently, and he says, no, I've gave you a word sometimes back. Every time I give you a word that is going to be destruction, you didn't pray. He told the church to start praying. And now recently he says, I'm going to place in a place where you are going to walk every day and going to pray for the people in this area, because destruction is going to come in this area. I won't mention the area in Kuala Lumpur, but that is going to be a destruction. God is going to open the land. And God has given that word in this church. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and the prophecy came to that man too, from another country. The pride of the nation of this land of Malaysia will tumble down. Heaven's door is being closed for this nation. Why? People don't cry out and pray. And God says now, don't pray for that thing which is to happen so that people can come back to me, but pray for the souls that they be saved. Amen. So if we can watch this movie called The Giants, Facing the Giants, you'll find there is this man who's a pastor who will go to the locker and pray every day to the locker room, and he's been praying for years, and he says, I pray for all the souls of these rockers who are the students here. One day they will receive Christ. And it came to pass. It came to pass. Prayer moved mountains. Prayer moved the hearts of the people. Prayer moved the tears of the people. So today, when we are speaking about rebelliousness, so we are supposed to now repent of the rebellion. Jesus said, kingdom of God is here. When he said, kingdom of God is here, there is a principality in kingdoms. There are principles in kingdoms. There are principles in the kingdoms of the earth, and there are principles in the kingdom of heaven. When you go to your house, there is a principle you set down. I've been to some houses, and I see rules, you know, guidelines in the house. There's a small one in the back of the toilet. First day, Monday, daddy wash toilet. Tuesday, mommy wash toilet. Wednesday, Coco, the eldest brother, wash toilet. The third day, Thursday, the sister will wash toilet. Can you just imagine? There are principles. They go by guidelines. So in the principle of God's kingdom, there are guidelines. What is the guideline? Number one is to repent of the rebellious spirit. If the kingdom of God in Jesus speaking about is not about repentance, then we are still not receiving it. That is why in John chapter 21, you'll find he talked about this. He went and spoke to Peter. Peter said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? What did he say? Lord, you know, I love you so much. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Lord, you know, I love you so much. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Lord, you know everything about my life. Why do you ask me? I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. Now, brothers and sisters, what did Jesus do at that time? If I told you just now, if the beginning and the time of Genesis, God has put a way that we all should follow Christ Jesus, the commandment, we come under the authority of God, and now Satan has reverse the clock and say anti-clockwise. And that is why before Jesus died on the cross, three times he denied Jesus Christ. Because of the rebellious spirit. If you love somebody, you're willing to die for somebody. If you love somebody, you'll give everything for yourself. I've heard parents, you know, who have saved their children and their life is gone. I've heard many, many cases. They love their children so much. The children is drowning. They pull up the children, pull them out, and they are drowned. In fire, accidents, there is always love. And Jesus Christ, out of his love, reversed that cycle again. Amen. And he said, I love you. I come under your authority, Lord. I am willing to come under authority of yours. I submit to you, Lord. And this man, Simon, was a silly man. Performed the miracles after miracles after miracles. An uneducated man who does not know well about the word. And he knows how to walk in the Spirit of God. Amen. 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 So God has got to do something in our life. If today we are talking about ourselves, our rebelliousness, repentance is important. In Christ Jesus' kingdom, repentance is number one. We cannot preach anything else except for repentance. Because when you come for repentance before God, we have sinned against many people in our life. And we have sinned against God. We have gossiped about people. We'll put them out. Even without in their absence, we cross their head and you tell them, oh, this man is no good. Who are you to judge? Who am I to judge? Only there is one judge. His name is Jesus Christ. All judgment, all authority has been given to Jesus Christ. I said, we are co-heirs. Co-heir or what? I told you, what are we supposed to be? So today, what goodness that has come into our lives has got to be coming into our life so that we can receive the blessings of God. And repentance is one. Repentance against the rebellion, the seed of rebellion, which was number one, which is introduced in our mind and also introduced in our seed. We are born. That is why nobody around here says, I'm good and yet can go to heaven. No way. No one who without Jesus Christ can go to heaven. No one without Jesus Christ can go to heaven. Praise God. Sometimes, many of us, even as a Christian, we find that we are fighting against the good and the bad. Inside us, there's a war. There's a war, internal war, that goes on in us. I've preached about it, I think, sometimes back. There's a war which goes inside us. We receive the Lord. And yet, old rebellious way, In the gospel, it's called the old man. In the gospel, in the New Testament, it's called the old man. The old man still want to rebel against the new man. And we fight inside us. We want to do the things that is good, but yet we do the things which are bad. Many times we want to do it, but somehow or other we go out. Jesus Christ, before he died, he went to Gethsemane and he prayed in the garden. And as he prayed in the garden, he said this, Father, remove this cup if it is your will. But let your will be done, not my will. But Father, and he goes on further, you'll find he says that he told the disciples and he said, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is rebellious. I'm putting the word there, rebellious, because the flesh is not willing. My flesh is rebellious against the Spirit of God. My flesh, because he took the flesh of man. Everything the man desires, everything the man has got, you and I has got, Jesus went through. He overcame. At this point of time, that is time he's got to give his life. And the flesh was saying, no, why should you give? No, no. And the Spirit said, no, yes. My Father said, I must come under obedience of my Father. I've come here for one purpose. Now he said, fights again each other. And he said, the Spirit is willing, Lord, but my flesh is not willing. If it is your will, take it away. But it's not your will, according to your will, let it be done. Again, brothers and sisters, Paul speaks to us in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Can somebody read verse 14 onwards? It's a long passage. He says that, you know, from 14 to 22, you can read. You'll find that, you know, he says, I want to do the good things, but somehow or other inside me, what I want to do, I want to do, I don't want, cannot do, but what I don't want to do, I do. He says, what I want to do, I want to do, I cannot do, but what I don't want to do, I do. He fights inside himself. He struggles inside himself. How many of us do struggle every day in our life? How many of us struggle in our life? And yet the one which wins. I've got this habit. I don't want. I've got this habit. No, I don't want to do it. I've got this habit of seeing pornography. Oh, I don't want to do it. But some more other. I've got this habit of alcohol. Oh, cannot. No, I don't want to do it. But some more other do it. We fight. Why? The spirit of rebellion is the cause and the source of everything else. Amen. See, we cut the spirit of rebellion. And Absalom's spirit of sedition. And the spirit of controlling powers of Jezebel inside us. Surely God will deliver us. What is the solution for all this? What is the solution? If there is a solution that we are looking for today, there is no magical solution I can give you today. There's only one solution I can tell you. But Jesus went on to the cross. We have to look at the cross. That solution is only one. There's no others. We cannot tell our rebellious spirit, oh, I must go for counseling. After counseling, 10, 20 counseling, you'll be all right. Okay. You know, I think meantime in the counseling, I will still continue doing what I want to do. I will nurture it. And I will still add on to it. You know, I need some massage on my counseling. You know, or not only this habits I've got, I want to massage. Somebody, oh, now feels good. Oh, when somebody is counseling and massaging me. No, I need something, some correction. No. Jesus took all our sins, all our rebelliousness. He went up on the cross. He executed it. See after me? Jesus executed it. So we must execute it. In other words, we must put it in death. Not to give massage. Not to go for counseling. I feel good today. Tomorrow come back again. Today I feel nice. I can do it. Tomorrow I'll come back again. Why? Because inside you, the struggle, the strength of the old man is greater. If you look at your old man and my old man today, he's very, very ugly. I know I'm handsome now. In Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter about the graying, white hairs. It's okay. But if you look at your old man and my old man, it's really, really ugly. So ugly. Stinks. Stinks. Really stinks. If I look back, wow, that was James. God, how come you had mercy on this man? It's so ugly. So dirty. And stinks. And we have to now move on from that stinking. And then do not let that stinking man come over us. Our good man, the new man in us, in Christ Jesus. When Jesus died and rose again, we're a new man again. And a new man must now take control, not the old man. What we do is that we still massage and entertain the old man. Oh, my flesh. Oh, my desire. My this thing. My that thing. Whatever it thing is, don't massage it. Don't give it counts. Can't now go on and say, I want to execute it. I want to cut it off. The desire is to cut off, not to massage. Amen? The only way we can remove all these things is by executing as what Jesus did. Jesus did not say, the word of God says very clearly, Jesus died with all our sins put onto him. Corinthians, I did speak about it, right? Corinthians 15. Put all onto him. He died. He nailed on the cross. He went with the sins into the third day. He went down. He crushed the head of the serpent. And on the third day, he rose again from death. And what did he do? He came out without any sin of ours. He became the firstborn of the new man, so that we can be a man like him, like Jesus Christ, as 100% man, we can be like him, victorious. Because he was the firstborn into the kingdom of heaven. And today, brothers and sisters, we cannot go and tell, I need this, I need that, I need somebody to come and help me. No, no, no. It's have to desire to become an executioner. When you are an executioner, you don't have mercy. Do you have mercy? An executioner, you go and tell the fellow, oh, you're going to slaughter me. No, don't do it. Have mercy. That guy has got no problem. He just does what he has to do. So are we supposed to, without feeling, execute the things that does not help us in the old man. We have to kill the old man. There are many of us who quote and say, I no longer live in this world, but Christ Jesus who lives in me, lives with me today. And yet, we are still rebellious. Easy to quote. Hard to live on. Let us speak what we speak. Let us act and behave as what we speak, not what we don't speak. Should be something that we say something, we mean what we say, and do what we say. Amen? So do not run. How much of Christ is in us today, brothers and sisters? How much of Christ is in us? How much of the old man has died? The new man is Christ in us. The Christ in us must go rise up with feeling love and joy and be overcomer, not a man who submits to the things. And I look back and as I prepared this message yesterday and 2 days before, and when I said I'm going to preach this Sunday, I felt the joy the Lord has brought me, Lion. I want to give a testimony. Today I can turn and say, God has taken away a lot of my this thing because I'm willing to give up. I'm willing to give up. I want to give up. There are many things, hidden sins you might not know. All God has taken away because I'm willing to give up for the sake of Christ. Every time I hear the song, like a rose, he was trampled on the ground. If you really look at the rose, and if it's trampled on the ground, stepped on, how dirty it is. It cannot even get up. Nobody appreciates it. And yet, he pulled himself up. And the song says it very clearly. He saw me. Put your hand and say, he saw Jesus. Saw me. He saw me in the spirit. He didn't see you in the body. He saw you in the spirit. Generations after generation, he already knows how many children you'll have. Already generations he knows. He, because of us, he died. He's willing to carry that cross and go up to Calvary and put every of our sins, every of our rebellion on the cross so that we are no longer rebellious, no longer be seditious, that we will be put onto the cross and there is death, the old man is dead, the new man will rise in us. So a new living man will rise in us. That is what we are called to be today, brothers and sisters, as Christians. We are people of God unless the old man has died. I told you, there are many things you can learn. You can learn from different religions. And yet you'll find there is only one, I can tell you this. That only one person, the leader of your belief, the leader that who told you that he died and he rose again, is the only one who rose again and he still lives. Every other has got a grave which people go up and pray to. There's only one. Even any other religion, it's prophesy about him, Jesus Christ. They take it wrongly. And I'm telling you this today. If there is anything rebellion in us, today let's put it to the cross. Let us execute it so that today we will walk rightly before God. That we will walk so that we will have the solution that Lord, we have executed it. We were willing to give the way you have given. Rebellious spirit and seditious spirit has got to get out of our lives. That is the source of all of our sins. That's the source that man or woman cheats against husband and wife. There are people who do that because why? Rebellious spirit. The spirit old man inside. There are people, children who rebel against parents. Why? It's the old man spirit. God says, do not sin. I am holy, so you shall be holy, for you are mine, God says. We preach, we learned about you. They shall be my people and I shall be their God. What did he say? He didn't say that, you call me and I am your God. No. He said, they shall be my people and I shall be their God. So we have that authority today. We are called to be with him. And rebelliousness has got to go down. Amen? Praise God. I just want you to close your eyes. Let the musician come up. Just strum some music. Put on the lights. Put down the lights. We've got to heal ourselves from all rebellious spirit, including me. All of us have got rebellious spirit. Sometimes we're sleeping with people who are rebellious. That the person next to you might be rebellious. We do not know, but only God knows. And if we are rebellious today, I pray today, God will put into our heart a new man. The new man that Jesus Christ died for. The new man that Jesus Christ came for. The new man that God has brought us so that we can be a better person. Not a rebellious person, but a person that will be for God. And be obeying under authorities. We are willing to take authority. And Lord, we are willing to take under commander. We don't want to go out until we save him. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus said, wait. He didn't say, go. Wait until the day you are powered off. There are times that we have to power ourselves. There are times that God will release us into the things that God wants to do. If there is time that you want to get married, there are times that will come. Wait. There are times that the things that God has got to pull. Wait. Don't be rebellious. There is something we have to be changed so that God can place in our life what is needed in our life. The blessing that is not coming into our life, it's because of our rebellious spirit. Let's pray today and remove this rebellious spirit in our life. I would ask of you today, if there's any one of you who are hurt today by your parents, if some of you are hurt in any way in your life, if some of you feel that you are condemned because of sedition, if you feel that somebody rebelled against you, or you have rebelled against somebody, whether in the office, whether in your workplace, whether among your teachers, whether even among pastors, leaders of the church, or you have been hurt by leaders of the church, I want you to place today every one of them at their feet, at the feet of Jesus Christ, at the cross. And let us pray today, together with us. Let's all speak out loud. Though you're bowing, let's speak out loud. Father in heaven, I come before you in the name of Jesus. As I have been rebellious in my ways, I have been thinking of myself selfishly. There are many times I've rebelled against the people you put in authority above me. There are many people whom you have put authority against on me, above me. The people whom you have placed as authority over me, I have rebelled against them. Lord, we repent today of rebellious spirit, which was introduced to us by our birth. For the word of God says, we are born out of iniquity. We are born in rebellious spirit. We nullify it today. We cut it off today. We crucify it today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we welcome you inside our heart to give us that new man, that we will not have the struggle between the old man and the new man. that a new man will achieve all the time and be successful. And every blessing that is due to me, due to my family, due to my church, due to even the place I work, or my business. Lord, let open heavens be upon us. Help us to walk in open heavens, in obedience to you, in your authority. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I forgive those who have rebelled against me. I release them today in the most precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.